Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we know, Father, you have come down in this hour with a shout, and you gave us principles to think about in these last days, Father, even as your Son Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And you said in your word, Father, that we have come to be glorified in your name in this hour. So, Father, we realize, Lord, that the thoughts that we think within our heart is what we truly are, Father, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and the actions take place. And so, Lord, we pray that in this hour, Lord, where we are to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, that the very mind that was in your Son would be in us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name, knowing, Father, that you came in this hour with a shout, a message, Lord, and that message is to bring deliverance to our mind. As Brother Branham said, we need our minds baptized. And so, Lord, we pray that your divine presence would so take a hold, Lord, of every thought that would come to our mind, because our thoughts are heard louder in heaven than our words. And so, Lord, we commit our thinking into thy keeping. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the scripture says that we are to receive our transformation by the renewing of our mind. So it's very apparent that we need our minds changed in order to get a body change. And now, last week we spoke from paragraphs 71 through 73 of the spoken word is the original seed, and we focused on Brother Branham's thoughts that the seed is the word of God. We went into the New Testament scriptures and parables where Jesus explained that the seed which the Son of Man sowed is the word of God. We saw also that the one in black following behind was the devil, and he sowed other seeds. This morning we're going to examine the same verses or the same paragraphs, but we have another thought that Brother Brown brings out as well, and that's how that the watering of the seed is necessary to bring the seed into life, or rather to bring the life in the seed into manifestation. So as we read here from paragraph 71, he says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. What is the seed of life? The word of God. Therefore, for life you can't come through a creed, you can't come through a denomination. You've got to come back to the word. Now the seed of life, all right, his word is his seed, and his spirit is the water. Now, right back to John 3:14, there you are again, you see it? See, the spirit is the water. Now look, John 3:14, we understand what it means if you want to read it. As Moses lifted up the brass serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And actually, when Moses lifted up his hands, then the water came forth from the rock. So, now if Moses lifted up the brass serpent, for the same cause that Christ was lifted up. Now, what is it? Moses lifted up the brass serpent so that the people that was perishing might have water for life. And look, Jesus, oh God, he says, Jesus is the word of God. Now, we're going to hammer that down this afternoon and see, we'll prove it. Jesus is the word of God, and he was bursted open, that life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is spirit, water flowing over, the spirit over the seed of God will bring forth the life of the seed. And to bring forth something else, there's some other kind of seed there then. So Brother Branham is saying, look, if you've got a different life than what's coming forth from the word of God, then it's not the word of God seed that's planted. It's something else that's planted. All right? So there's another life there. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to the water, to water the seed, if it's a seed, it's watering. It'll produce the life of the seed. That's clear. Is that clear? Produce the life of the seed, for that's what it's given for. I believe the Bible is the Word, the whole truth, and Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and his Word is one and the same. What was he? Now look, he was that seed. Now, I've got to hold something back in order to get in here this afternoon or this evening. You see, it's hard. But he was the seed that Eve should have produced. Do you get it? He was a seed that Eve was to produce, but she hybrided it by disbelieving God's word. So he was the seed, and the only way that life could be in the reproduction of life, life had to come through the seed, and that seed had to die in order to spread out the life. Can't you see it? That's why the water was given to water the seed. All right, so now we're talking about two different thoughts here. He's talking about the life is in the seed. And if that seed is truly planted and water, now he's talking about water. If you water that seed, the life that's in there has got to come out of it. It's got to manifest itself forth, okay? Now we know that the Word of God is a seed. In fact, the Apostle Peter tells us that the Word of God is an incorruptible seed. And if the Word of God is an incorruptible seed, then what is a corruptible seed? What's your guess? If the Word of God is an incorruptible seed, then what's a corruptible seed? Okay, but what kind of seed is it? If the Word of God is incorruptible and it's a seed, then there's got to be another seed which is also a word. Whose word is it? Sure, it's words that aren't God's. Brother Branson says there's really two sources for it. It's God and it's Satan. You see, in 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So according to the word of God, there is a corruptible seed and an incorruptible seed, and the difference is in the life. One lives and abides forever, so it is an eternal life in that seed. Therefore, the other life would have to be other than incorruptible and eternal. It'd have to be corruptible. Now, from his sermon, Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Brother Branham said, I believe that this Bible, this word right here, the Bible, is God in print form. And I believe that the Bible is a seed. Those words are seeds. Jesus said, a sower went forth sowing seeds. This is it. The Word of God is a seed. Jesus said it was. Then if it is God in print form and you receive it into your heart and then the Holy Spirit waters that seed, it'll bring forth what it promised. Then Brother Bram says, any kind of seed you sow, it'll bring forth that kind of crop. So not only the Word of God, if it's sown, will bring forth the Word of God promises, but any seed that's sown in your heart is going to bring forth that crop too. Exactly right. We've sowed in this great revival going to a lot of intellectual seed. We've got an intellectual crop. That's right. If we would sow gospel seed, we would have gospel crop. And we need to get back to the principle and the Bible teaching, back to the Bible, back to the Holy Spirit upon the Word of God that makes the Word of God live. That's exactly what it is. Now, I got a call yesterday from a minister who heard from another minister about a sermon that I preached about 12 years ago. Called The Garden of Your Mind, actually almost 13 years ago now. And I thought, you know, that sermon ties in so well with what Brother Branham is saying here. And I know it has been many, many years since I preached that sermon. In fact, probably most of you here, or most people in this congregation, weren't here at that time. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants me to bring out these same points again. In fact, that is the way that we best learn, you know, is through rote. How many know what rote is? Rote teaching. It's when you say it over and over and over again until the people get it. You see, you teach it over and over and over again until those principles become so ingrained in our minds that we just can't forget them. Now, we see again then examples, and I'd like to examine the principles that we lay down for you concerning the watering of the seed that lay within our mind. Because the seed we plant in our heart and our mind have life in them. Not just the Word of God has life, but other seeds have their own kind of life, but it's a corruptible life, and it brings forth corruption. And it just takes a watering to bring them into manifestation. And we know that every seed we plant in our mind, in our heart, will come into manifestation if we just water it. And since we're studying this sermon, the spoken word is the original seed, and we find Brother Branham is speaking about the Word of God being a seed that must be watered for it to come alive and manifest the Word of God in our life. Therefore, he is laying out for us the law of reproduction, whereby whatever seed is planted, the life that is in that seed cannot come forth into manifestation of the same nature of the seed that was planted until it is watered. Therefore, I'd like to ask this question. How many of you in here would plant watermelon seeds when in reality you're expecting grapefruits? Do we have anybody that disconnected? Well, I'm shocked. No, I'm not shocked. Of course we wouldn't. You know better than that. So then why do we sow certain kinds of seeds in our life and then expect the results to be different than what we have sown. You know, they say insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Brother Branham said there would come a time that the only people that would have a right mind, or would have their right mind, is the bride of Christ, because she'd have the mind of Christ. He said the rest of the world is going insane. We have an entire government that shows they're insane when they went into debt, and this whole crisis is because of going into debt, and then they think by going into debt further, they can get out of it. Explain that to me. I just don't understand their logic. It shows that they don't even care. Now in Matthew 13:24-30, we read, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you might root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now in Mark chapter 4 and verse 4 we read, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And Genesis 1:11 says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And so we examine these scriptures this morning, and I want you to know that there are three things that we notice in all three of them. Number one, he's speaking of a seed that was sown into the ground, and we know by definition that a seed is life, or contains life within it. Number two, this seed that is within the seed must come forth into a manifestation and bring forth an expression of the life that lays within it, and it cannot express anything outside of what life is already in it. And number three, by viewing that life expression, you will know what life it is, which is identification. Now, let's begin by looking at point number one. The seed that is sown is the word. Mark 4:4, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, the fowls of the air came and devoured it and ate it up. And he said, the seed is the word of God. Now, in John 1:1-4, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, the word was God. That same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without anything without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Notice, in him was life. He is the word, in him is life, and the life is the light of men. All right, so notice that when he talks about the word, he's talking about a seed. It's life. Now notice that in him was life, and that is why all things were created by him, because it takes life to bring life, and he is the word. So this life is in the word. Now let's read the parable that Brother Branham used in his sermon, The Spoken Word is the Original Seed. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 8, we're going to read from verse 4 to 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground and sprang up, bear fruit and hundredfold. And when he said these things, he cried, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And as Brother Branham, we read that last week, he said, in other words, he that can hear what God wants to say, then listen, or something like that. He that has an ear that's able to hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but notice, but to others in the parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, which for a while believe and in times of testing fall away. In other words, they have no foundation. Brother Branham said if you don't have representation before the foundations of the world, you don't have it now, and you won't have it at the end. You see? And they which... The, And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Patience. Wow. That's a key word in this hour. Bring forth fruit with patience. Now notice that the seed that was sown is the word of God. And yet we see that unless this word or seed is sown in the proper place, it will not produce life. In 1 Peter 1 and 23, we read this morning that the word of God is not only a seed, but it's an incorruptible seed. Therefore, it is called a seed, and yet we found in 1 Peter that there are two types of seeds or words that are sown. A corruptible word and an incorruptible word. And the evidence that we have received an incorruptible word in the right kind of soil is that we shall live and abide forever. Now let's take this thought one step further. If Peter is telling us that there are two different types of seeds, one is corruptible, the other is incorruptible, and one is called the Word of God, then the other must be words of one who is not God. Any word that's not God. Therefore, if a seed must manifest its life, then one life will manifest attributes which are eternal, while the other will manifest attributes which surely will perish. Furthermore, we know that the Son of Man went forth sowing the word seed, and the man in black was Satan, who goes behind him with his own version of the word, which is another gospel or another spirit, a different nature. And remember that word other there, or another, is from the Greek word heteros, and it means of a different nature. So he uses about 99% of the word, but adds another word that gives it a twist. So if he sows a different seed, it must have a different nature. For the law of reproduction says that every seed will bring forth after its own kind. Now from the message, Israel in Egypt, Brother Branham said, well, they say, I don't need anybody to teach me. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, then the Holy Ghost was wrong when it said it set some in the church teachers. God put them in the church as teachers. That settles it. Why did he put teachers in there if the Holy Ghost is going to do all the teaching? See, what people need is their brains baptized besides their water. That's right. Again, in the message, Demonology, too religious, he said, instead of baptizing your body, you need your brains baptized. That's right. You don't stop to think of things. You don't try to consider it. And in the message, Blasphemous Names, Brother Branham said, the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there is a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith only recognizes the word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the word because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word's still God. And the word was made manifest and dwell among us. And when the word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation, I'll build my church. See, not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation. When them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. See? That's why I say that the thing that that fears me the most is to see the young people being raised up in this message and it's church to them. It's a social thing instead of a revelation. Now, in studying the law of reproduction, the next principle I want to bring out is this. The life that is within the seed must come forth into a manifestation and bring forth an expression of the life that lays within it. And it cannot express anything outside of what life is within it already. Therefore, every seed must bring forth after its kind or nature. From God revealing himself to his people, he said the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? The word is a seed, is that right? That a sower sowed into the ground, and every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you need salvation, the seed's here. If you need healing, here's a seed in the Word. The Word of God is a seed. Put it into your heart. Don't dig it up every morning to see if it's sprouted. Put it in there and leave it there. It's God's business to bring forth the harvest. You just leave it there, water it by faith, and praise every day, thanking God for it. All right. And from At Thy Word, he said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but at Thy Word, Lord, that's it. Take God at his word, and God's spoken word will materialize and produce just exactly what he says it will. Listen, the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. If you want corn, you plant corn, water corn, and leave corn alone. It will produce corn. Is that right? Wheat will produce wheat. The promise of salvation will produce a Christian. The promise of the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. The promise of divine healing will make you well. Any divine promise of God, and the Bible said that the Word of God is a seed. Is that right? And from what think ye of Christ, he said, and if the right mental attitude, you just take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God, watch it materialize. See, no matter how it looks, if it looks impossible, if God said so, he makes it possible. And from Word Became Flesh, an India trip, he said, every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid in seed form. Then, if received into the human being and spoke by the same thought that materialized the Bible, brings the thing to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be? The Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be world, before it could be word, it had to be a thought. So God in the creation created the world by his thought first, then spoke it, and the thought expressed became material. See what I mean? Now, you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, then you see it before it happens and express it in a word form. That word takes a hold and becomes material, and a thought expressed. Oh my, see how God, see if your heart and your mind is so infilled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become his thoughts. Amen. There you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being. Oh my, what kind of people should we be? If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of church would we be? What kind of a people would we be this morning if the Branham Tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God? Why? When you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thoughts, didn't even have no alternative of your own. But just be led by the Spirit. As a man thinketh, it has to become a thought before it can become a word. And a word expressed materializes. I believe in my heart that I am a Christian because I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. If I don't move, if I don't do a thing, in my heart first I believe that Christ died for me in my stead. Amen. I accept it as a Christian. I believe it as a Christian. Then it's in my heart. Then I express it in a word. I am a Christian. Hallelujah. Then I start walking as a Christian, talking as a Christian, living as a Christian, being as a Christian, and my fruits, I'm recognized by the world as a Christian. Hallelujah. You see, when you plant a seed in the ground, you can't see the life that's in the seed. In fact, you know, unless you really know different kind of seeds, you don't even know what kind of seed it is, unless the package says, you know, this is this kind of seed or that kind of seed. Now, when you see the plant fully grown, yeah, then you can say, well, you know, that's a maple tree or that's an oak tree, you know. But when you just look at the little seeds, it's very, very difficult to know. But when that life is released from the seed, it is expressing the life of that plant, the life of the original. And when the life of Christ is expressed through our being, when it's watered by the Word of God, watered by His Spirit, on a regular basis, it begins to nourish. It's like the Bible says that the man is planted. He's like a tree planted by the river of life, you see. Now in John 12 and 24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. And in John 16 and 7, we read, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, Brother Brown spoke of the original seed being the Word of God, and he mentioned in the rapture message that this life has been coming forth since Luther's message and on up through Wesley's, continuing on up through the Pentecostal message until it finally comes to a rest in the intelligence, which is the very mind of God back in the people. Now, in looking at these three thoughts here, we see that, number one, the seed contains the life of the original. The spoken word is the original seed. It's the original seed life. That's 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So if All things that pertain unto life and godliness are given to us through His divine power. And we know, in, according to Romans 1:16, that the power of God, the gospel of God, is the power of God unto salvation. By His word, God spoke the worlds into existence. That's His power exercised. So we know then that if we have the power of God, then all things that are in this word, it says, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Life. It comes through His word. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How are you going to receive more and more of God's Spirit? Right there. That's God in seed form. Take the seed you want, plant it, water it. It'll bring forth. Number two, the same life that was sown in the original seed, which is the very life that was in Christ Jesus, shall, that's Genesis 1:11, the law of reproduction, every seed after its kind. So if you want God life, there it is. Every seed has to produce after its kind. And number three, the life shall return in this hour, not only among the people, but it shall enter into the people as well. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, shall manifest in His true identity, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. He said the complete seed comes forth in its complete body, which is the complete life that was in the seed that has come back into human flesh in a bride in this hour. So we're speaking of the original seed, the original word life back in human flesh again. And that is why we are told our new birth comes by a seed which is incorruptible. It is the incorruptible word of God. In fact, in John 6:63, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." And so we see that the word is a seed. It's a seed. It's a carrier of the seed, or it contains eternal life. Now, this morning, I would like to look at this thought of the word being a seed in a different way than perhaps you've heard before. Since we're talking about the word as a seed, I would like to break this down to our own personal level for a few minutes, and we shall subtitle this message "The Garden of Your Mind." And now we know that the word is a seed, right? Then if the word is a seed, there is a life that is in that seed, and every seed is a carrier of life. We know this by definition, but what is in a word? The answer is thoughts. Before there were any words, there were thoughts. Then the word is an expression of the thoughts. So in essence, the thoughts within the word are the life of the word. Now, does that make sense to you? It's the thoughts, not just the words that come out of your mouth, because some people are just kind of brain dead and just whatever comes out, comes out. But the explicit thoughts that are coming forth from the mouth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In other words, if I said to you, look, you can hear words, and to you that hear them, you might not understand them. If I say the word salga, maybe one person in here would know what it is. Christina. Because she was with me in Norway when she was a little girl. And there's a sign that said salga, S-A-L-G-E. And a sign simply, salga means sail. Now, if I say salga, you say, well, what in the world is salga? There's no connection to the word, right? But if I say sail, all of a sudden shoes are going through her mind, or purses or something like that. You see? You're thinking in terms of something. It brings your mind to a focus. That's what words do. It gives life to those sounds. You see? Okay. Immediately your mind goes into gear And you begin to think of other things which are associated with the word sale. Of course, if you're not really into buying stuff, but you love to go out on a sailboat, and you hear the word sail in English, you know, because sail and sail sound the same, you know, you might be thinking of being on the water. But anyway, if you're in real estate, you might think of a house on sale. You know, if you really love food, you might think of the food market. If you love clothes, you might be thinking of those things. If you are just a common, ordinary person, you immediately think sale of what? So you can see that the word is not just a guttural sound, but it really has some significance. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 6 to 11, Paul said, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easily be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. None of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know what the meaning of the voice is, I shall be unto him that speaketh, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me." So I could be shouting all I want, "Chrissy, there's a salga, salga, Chrissy, there's a salga." And she'd go, "Well, what in the world is a salga?" Unless she knew it was a sail. You see? So what Paul is saying here is that every sound that has some significance in some language. Just to speak words which have no meaning does not do anything for anyone. But when we speak in words which can be understood, then those words can and will bring forth fruit. In Jeremiah 6, verse 19, we read, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but they rejected it." So notice, my words are my thoughts, but they won't accept my words, my thoughts. So I'm going to bring forth the fruit of their thoughts, which is nothing but destruction and wickedness. Here God tells us that our thoughts actually will produce a fruit. And we know that man is likened to a tree, as we see in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You want to have a life that prospers all the time? Be planted in the rivers of light. What's that? The Word of God. That's a guarantee. Prosperity. And I'm not up here preaching a prosperity message, but I hope you understand what I'm talking about. God has principles that must be followed. Now here we see that a righteous man is likened to a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and we're told that his fruit will bring forth in its proper season, and his leaf shall never wither. Now, what does God mean by this metaphor? Picture in your mind a man planted like a tree, planted by the water. There's little roots going out, sucking up water. And its leaves will never wither. No dying to this one. We know that God likens his word to water and eternal life, to the river of life that flows from the throne of God, as we see in Revelation 22 and 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." All right. Next we see that this man is planted. He doesn't wander here and there. He's planted. That means he cannot move. He is fixed in this place, which means that he is rooted in, and his roots are reaching out for the waters of life, and he's living off the waters of eternal life. And of course we know that these waters of life are the Word. Now it is the Word of God. For we're told in Ephesians 5:26 that we are washed by the washing of the water by the Word. And since this tree or righteous man has a good water supply, his leaf will never wither. As Peter said, we are born again of a seed that will not perish, the word of God that lives and abides forever. Amen. And so, we see that this speaks of eternal life, for the life in this tree will never wither. But I want you to also see that the greatest thing about this tree is that it is constant. It's not vacillating back and forth. And it will always bring forth its fruit in its proper season. And so we see that the fruit is tied to a season. It is a seasonal fruit. Now we hear Jesus speaking of knowing a man by his fruits. And in Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes off of thorns or figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree will bring forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby their fruits you shall know them." Now, what does he mean by this? You will know him by his or her fruits. A closer examination of the scripture allows us to see that you will be able to tell who and what a man is by the fruit that they bear. Then it is the fruit that identifies and declares the man, just as it is the fruit that identifies and declares the tree. Right? Adam, you know apples. All right, there's many different kinds of apples, isn't there? All right? So if you're looking at a certain type of apple, let's say, I don't think I know two or three of them, but a Macintosh apple, all right, because I know the computer. All right, Macintosh apple. So you got a Macintosh apple, okay? Now, what about a Granny Smith apple? What's the difference? Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, what's a Granny Smith apple look like?
It's green with little stars on it.
Okay, and what about a Macintosh?
It's somewhat flattened out in shape. It'll have a green highlight where the leaf is shaded from the sun. The rest will be red.
All right. Can you tell them by their seeds? By looking at them?
If you're an expert, maybe, but you could be fooled.
Yeah. You see? So it's not the seed, but it's the life in the seed that's manifested. That's the fruit. That's the life that we live. That's what comes out of your mouth. That's what comes out of your actions. We're going to find as we go further into the study, when Brother Branham talks about the mark of the beast, he said, see, it's not some tattoo on the forehead, he said. It's in the mind, and it comes forth in the actions. That's in the hand, in the forehead. Not on the forehead, in the forehead. So your actions, and Brother Branham's talk, I tell you what, when we get to that, I don't think we have time today to get into that. No, we don't. But when we get into that, Brother Branham says, he said, if you've got just a church mind, he said, that's the mark of the beast. Just church. Well, my church, I go to my church, and my church is right, and your church is wrong, and blah, blah, blah. He says, if you're not open to the Word of God, and just have a churchy mind, he said, that's the mark of the beast. That's the mark of apostasy. So it's religious. Remember, the twins are both religious. They both worship God. They both sacrifice to God. So if it's religion that you want, you can have it. I don't want it. I want a relationship with my daddy, my father. He happens to be God. Therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is the teaching? Now remember, he begins by warning us about false prophets, and he calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. But then he talks about fruit. He's using a metaphor to get across his point. But what are these fruits that he's speaking of? Some would have you to think that these fruits are the fruits of the Spirit or fruits of the flesh. But Brother Branham told us in his sermon, Anointed Ones, at the end time, he said, the fruit is the teaching of the season. Therefore, not the doctrine. Now, I want you to understand one thing. You can talk doctrine all you want. That's not necessarily the teaching of the season. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you can agree with the doctrine. Satan agrees too. The Bible says he believes and he trembles. What is the fruit? What was the fruit of Noah's day? He said, God told him to build an ark. It's going to rain. He built the ark, that's his fruit, and he got in the ark, and he didn't worry two bits about everybody else. He got him and his family. The tokens applied for you and your family. He got him and his family in the ark. That was the fruits. 120 years without one convert to his message. Think about that. But God, when he gave him the vision of how to build the ark, there's only enough room for 8 people. His children didn't even have children yet. Wasn't room. So they kept those children within them. You see? Oh, I love the Word of God. It's just choice. Therefore, we must ask ourselves, what is the teaching but the very thoughts of the person made known through words? Therefore, if we break down this thought of what a man's fruit is, we find that it is his thoughts, what he's thinking. And we find a righteous man will have the right thoughts for the right season. Or better said, a righteous man will have thoughts that are correct match for the season in which he's living. Those who were elect in Moses' day did not look to Noah's message for the bread of life in their day. They received Moses' message in Moses' day. In Jesus' day, those who were looking to Moses missed him when he came. And so we see that the righteous man is like a tree that is planted and rooted in the waters of the word of eternal life, and their thoughts will be in season for their day, and therefore they shall not ever wither. And one thing in closing, what is the message for this day? My ministry is to declare him that he is here. Malachi comes to restore the hearts of the children to the hearts of the Father. The understanding of the children to the understanding of their fathers. There's got to be a life. There's got to be fruits that's worthy of a body change. Because if the mind truly is changed, the outer body will conform. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study today. We know, Father, as we go deeper and deeper into it, we will find answers for how that we can change then the thoughts that lay within us. We can, we have a tool, Father, to not allow wrong thoughts to bring forth into maturity. So, Father, help us to water the Word, your Word, that the mind which was in Christ might be in us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I have 28 pages to this sermon, and it's going to be broken up. We took 9 pages today. We'll be taking 9 each time. And Wednesday night, I don't know if next Sunday we're going to take a resurrection message, so we'll probably come back to this sermon after Easter. Wednesday night we're going to have another work detail to try to get things ready for Easter. But I want you to be praying about this sermon because I think it'll really help a lot of you to have victory in areas where perhaps you're struggling. Amen. Let's sing, The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee, The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.